Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you might be. Welcome to the Positivity Spartans. And today we're joined by my co-host, Eric Lane.
What's up, brother?
And my good friend, Katie.
Good morning.
So today we're continuing on with our talk about moms and pretty much how much power they have. But we're keeping all our, this time we're going to talk about a mom that's married, working, and also in school. And Katie, could just tell me about yourself a little bit?
Sure. Yep. So I'm Katie Harris. I'm in the military. So I've been active duty now for about 8 years. Before that, I was in the reserves and National Guard. I'm a preventive medicine NCO. So I deal with like public health and environmental health. And I have a recent husband. I just got married less than a year ago and a 9-year-old daughter.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. I was a single mom for a long time, so things are a lot easier now.
That's like you said,
I've been in school for a really long time. I was trying to get into PA school and nursing school for a while. That hasn't worked out for me, but still taking classes and playing football.
Nice.
It's because you're supposed to be a journalist.
I think that's honestly what it is. Yeah. I mean, fate has other plans for me, I guess.
Sure it does.
Yep, definitely.
All right, so I'm just going to go over some of the stuff you've done. So you talked about, you know, your mom and also a spouse. And let's talk about, what did you say, Eric?
No, I didn't say anything.
Oh, I'm hearing stuff.
I didn't say anything.
Cut that out. But let's talk about your time you spent writing as a journalist. When did that start up?
So that started, let me backtrack. So it actually started when I started a blog back in 2013. And I did it because I was going through a really bad divorce and I started getting into like fitness, and it was just a really important time in my life where I started just doing a lot of like inward thinking and like analyzing, I guess. And so what ended up happening was I would just have all these thoughts that I ended up having to just get out on paper. So I started this blog. It was like fairly like fitness based and also just like life motivation stuff. Well, I kept up on that. And then on my 2018 deployment to Afghanistan, I was in this outpost in the middle of nowhere in Nangarhar. And Black Rifle had a journalist out there. He ended up being the head editor for like an up and coming magazine that they're working on. And so we were stranded there for multiple days, and ended up needing to like, we took a Black Hawk out of there. And I'm not kidding. We were on a Black Hawk for 8 hours trying to go like 30 miles. So we had all this time to like get to know each other. And I mentioned the fact that I had a blog. So he looked me up. He read one of my blogs and he was like, "You're a really good writer. You know, can I contact you later on for a possible job?" I was like, "Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's a dream as a writer. You know, you usually go years and years not being paid. And then you have someone here now saying, hey, you want a job?" So I redeployed, wrote another blog post, and then he just hit me up and said, "Hey, do you want to be a freelancer?" So that's kind of where it started.
That's pretty awesome.
Have you written about the chapstick story yet?
The what story?
The chapstick story or the lip balm, whatever it was.
No, I don't think so. Oh, that one. Oh, my God. No, I'm going to put that in my TV show, though.
Okay.
That's going to be a screenplay down the road. But yeah.
Yeah. Can you tell a story about that?
So it was actually at that very same outpost. When I got there, I think I was the first female to be there like at all during that rotation. And all it was one ODA, so one special forces team. And then there was like 30 uplift infantry, conventional forces there. So I landed at like midnight, you know, got to my room. They basically made me my little own makeshift room, which is like, imagine the size of like twice the size of like a standard closet. And that's all it was. It was like a cot and then a tarp separating it from the opsin area. And I'm like unpacking my bags. It's the next morning. And so at this point, no one really knows I'm there other than the people I flew in with. So I'm behind this tarp. I pulled out chapstick. I was like, oh, I need that. So I pulled out this chapstick, started putting it on. And then I heard a guy on the other side of the tarp. He starts sniffing. He was like, And then he goes, is that mango? And I looked at my chapstick, and it was tropical mango chapstick. And I was like, holy shit, he can smell me from, like, across the room. Like, what? Where am I? What's going to happen here? But it was all good. No rapey vibes or anything. Like, it was a great experience.
Hey, he was like, I smell fruit. That's not a man smell. Something's going on here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when you spend, you know, multiple days without a shower, there was no actual working. There was no bathrooms out there. There was one, like, makeshift shower, but I swear those dudes, they smelled so bad. They smelled so bad. They smelled like they hadn't showered in months.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That story cracked me up. What were you going to ask, Lane?
Oh, I was going to say, how long have you been writing?
Overall, I guess since 2014, maybe. And as of this point right now, I kind of put a pause on it, and I would just pick up stories when I had time because I'm so busy with school and football and everything. I'll occasionally pitch a story to Black Rifle, and if they say yay, I'll write it. And if they say nay, you know, I'll just wait until sometimes they'll offer me story ideas as well. Right. It's really like as much and as little as I want to write. But now that I've finished some science courses, I might start, you know, picking that back up again soon.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. Fun fact, Marcellus, I used to do journalism in high school.
What? Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did sports journalist. I got journalist of the year for the entire school my junior and senior year. So I was like pretty involved in it. And
nice.
I wanted to actually become a sports analyst when I was younger, but obviously, those dreams have been deferred.
Well, it's not too late.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just took the words out of my mouth.
It's definitely fun and very therapeutic to just write your thoughts out, getting down and expressing. Because it's like, you know, you're writing in different ways. And I'd also prompt you as the writer to, you know, kind of change your writing up a bit and also change your overall thought process.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So, talk about your writing. Let's talk about your superstardom.
Oh, God.
Let's talk about the football, man. Let's talk about football. Yeah, let me know, man. Me and my son, we're coming to some games.
Yeah, you should. I mean, unfortunately, the last two seasons have been postponed because of COVID, but maybe next year. So, yeah, that's been a really big bummer because we all miss it so much.
The league is transitioning too, right?
They have transitioned, yeah. So before I started playing, it was known as the Laundry Football League. And then they kind of changed the uniforms up a little bit, and then they changed it to Legends Football League. And then now in 2019, after that year, they transitioned, and it's now called the X League. But it's the same general concept. We have our uniforms are more coverage now. It's more like shorts and like a longer crop jersey. But other than that, like, the same concept is there. It's still 7-on-7 arena football. Very similar rules as to what we've always had.
Lane, have you ever watched a game or seen highlights?
I have. I have seen highlights. And actually, we're going to ask Katie, like, how does she deal with the impact? Because it's like, well, obviously you're in group, so special forces, so you don't do PT every day, like a regular line unit, but you know, just the overall impact, like, that's a lot. Like, how do you balance that? You know, regular workout schedule, military, wife, college student, in addition to being a professional athlete.
Yeah, the physical aspect of it is really challenging, and especially the way that we do our football practices. So since a lot of us are working, you know, full-time employees, and a lot of us have kids, we jam our weekends full of practice. So what we'll typically do is we'll do Friday night from 6 to 9 p.m., Saturday morning, 6 to 9. Sometimes Saturday night, 6 to 9. Sometimes Sunday morning, 6 to 9. So on our regular weekend schedule, we've got at least 12 hours of football. 3-hour practices at a time. So it really takes, like, a toll on our bodies. And so I've learned, like, you know, before I got into this league, I thought it was going to be a lot of young girls that were, like, you know, like, I don't know, like, more. I would thought the younger kids would be, like, more in their prime, you know? But as I'm getting older, I'm like, no, it's us older women that know how to, like, balance and take care of our bodies and recover. So when I would go to work on Monday mornings, it would be a struggle. You know, I'm limping around. But luckily, the units I've been in, not only group, but I was in Madigan, the hospital before, they're all pretty flexible with me. So I could kind of dictate my own workout schedule, especially since I knew I was in such good shape. Like, why mess with me kind of thing?
Right.
But yeah, I would always do some recovery stuff on my Monday, and I would just jump into my regular army routines as well, because to me, it's been important to maintain my like 300 APFT as well. So it's
you can do that in your sleep, drunk.
What's that?
I say you can do that in your sleep, drunk.
Well, I mean, APFT, I feel like, come on, it's push-ups, sit-ups, and a run. ACFT, on the other hand, that's no joke. But
so, hey, I love that, man. I love the ACFT much better than the APFT.
It makes more sense for sure.
It's way more fun too.
Yeah,
that's interesting you say that, because I know not to be sexist, I know a lot of female soldiers, they just like it. They don't like the ACFT.
I don't like the weight stuff because that doesn't compare. If everything was like body weight in some way, shape, or fashion, it would make more sense.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of max deadlift being the first event. Like, come on. Like, that doesn't, like, ask any person. Like, that doesn't make sense. Like, yeah, I understand the necessity of being able to lift heavy things, but to have that be, I don't even think it should be included. That should be just a separate day event just to see, you know, your brute strength. And I think, yeah, a lot of women don't like it because a lot of women can't pass it. And it's unfortunate that leaders haven't prepared their soldiers well enough to prepare them for something like this. Like, there's no reason why a person shouldn't be able to lift their own body weight through pull-ups and lift their legs up to tuck them. You know what I mean? There's no reason why someone can't get to that standard. But for the longest time, people have just been trained to do well in the APFT, and it's kind of, it's hurting a lot of people now.
Yeah. So how do you feel as a mom coming off of postpartum and jumping directly into rigorous activity and still being expected, you know, to perform as a male does?
Well, for me, I kept in really good shape my whole entire pregnancy, and I plan on doing that again the next time. It wasn't really until month 7 or 8 that I had to kind of slow down. Right. I do think that women need at least 6 months to be like tested, you know, to get their body back on track. But if you stay in shape while you're pregnant and you continue to be fit, like I didn't have a problem with it, but then again, who knows, maybe it's genetic. But I would say like women need at least 6 months to a year to be able to bounce back from something.
They
like
pushed
that.
It to a year in the past 6 months, I believe.
That's what I thought. Yeah. And I mean, as it should, like you just delivered a whole child, like your body changes so much, like your hips change, like everything, you know, changes. So
like it takes you 10 months to create. So like, I don't think you're good in 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
6 months is pushing it for like most people, I would say.
I can definitely say like seeing my wife go through her physical structures, it kind of molded me and made me become more open-minded as a leader when I have soldiers that are pregnant and, you know, obviously coming back from postpartum, like it just changed my entire mindset and my leadership philosophy.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. A lot of people can't really empathize, I guess, with women, but the fact that you see it firsthand, you know, and that's awesome.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I had, when I was in Germany, I literally had like 8 or 9 female soldiers pregnant.
Wow.
Like, well, it was at least 5, and then like the male soldiers, their wives were pregnant too, but like 5 or 6 of the females were pregnant in my unit, and they were all like 2 to 3 months apart.
Oh my God.
It was insane. It was just like, all right, well, I seen
another,
it. The,
another baby shower.
Yeah,
we had, like we literally had a unit baby shower where where there was, I think, because there were other people in our unit. So our unit had a total of maybe 50 soldiers. Damn. At one point, there was about 6, 7 soldiers pregnant at the same time.
Wow.
Mm.
But yeah, I learned a lot about that, and I felt those rules were unfair with the 6 months. So I'm happy the Army progressed to the 12 months, and I'm also happy that they allow pregnant women to go to your schools now for promotion.
For promotion, that's something that was definitely unfair across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the fact that before you only got 6 weeks of leave after having a baby, I think it's now like 12.
Yeah, it's 3 months.
Yeah, which I can't imagine leaving my child at only 6 weeks, especially if you're, like, nursing and breastfeeding. Like, they're still so little, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty awesome, man. Like, I always tell my wife, I'm like, man, seeing my wife go through her pregnancy with my son, I think, aside from death, giving birth is, like, the ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah.
Like, I have a low tolerance and threshold level for pain, and just seeing my wife literally go through what she went through in the delivery room.
Yeah, I mean, labor is one thing, but like also the majority of your pregnancy, you're just tired. You know, it's such a struggle to do every little thing. The fact that women are able to like get up, work, go to school, exercise while being pregnant, you know, it's so amazing to me where like I'm one of those people where I see very differences between men and women. And I, you know, mm-hmm. men are strong. Men are going to be stronger than women. Men are one way. But women, you know, we might not be as like physically strong as far as like being able to lift heavy weight, walk, you know, miles and miles. But the like the emotional strength of like mm-hmm. a woman is just amazing to me.
Yes, yeah, unsung, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, men can't do that.
Yeah, right.
And the pain threshold. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Man, I can't deal with it, bro. Like, I don't even want to. So I've never had to get a COVID test, and I don't even know if I can deal with the pain with that.
It's not really. It's more uncomfortable than anything.
Yeah, it is.
It's like something scratching at the back of your throat through your nose.
See. Yeah. Just the thought of that is making me cringe.
Yeah, I was not a fan.
Just the thought of that is making me cringe. Where are you from, Katie?
I'm from Minnesota originally.
Oh, don't you know?
Don't you know?
So you're a you're a Vikings fan?
Oh, yeah.
Nice. You guys look pretty good this year. You guys look pretty good so far.
I didn't get to catch the preseason game the other day, so we'll see. I haven't kept up on it well, but I'm looking forward to football season, especially since we didn't have a season of our own.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's pretty dope. So growing up in Minnesota, how was that? Like, what did you want to do as a kid? What was your overall aspirations?
So super funny. When I was a kid, I don't know why I thought I was going to be famous. And I don't know why I thought that.
You are.
I had no innate, like, skills, you know? Like, I was awkward. I wasn't good at sports. Like, I don't know what about it. But in my head, I was like, I'm just going to be famous for something. I did want to write as a kid. I remember my family did not have money. And so we had, at one point when I was probably 10, my mom got me a typewriter from like a rummage sale, like a used typewriter. So I would like write little mini stories that probably, I wish I held on to them. I think I would read them and be like, oh my God, this is so bad. And I would just throw them away. I wish I would have kept them, but I did want to write. And then as I got older, I wanted to be a teacher. I wanted to be a nurse. I wanted to be a journalist. I've circled back and forth between so many different jobs. And it's really funny because in a way, they've all come full circle without even realizing it. You know, now I sit back and I'm like, oh my God, I did want to be a journalist. Here I am. You know, I did want to be famous, and I've got my football, which it's not like famous, but it's like in and itself, it's just like this really cool fan base that we have, you know, it's a sense of fame, I guess.
Yeah.
And like with the nursing stuff, like I do patient care stuff at my work now. So yeah, it's weird. Things have really come to, I mean,
full circle. Yeah.
Yeah. At least you're kind of doing all those things essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty cool to be that diverse.
Yeah. Thank you. I remember even as a kid, I always wanted to be like a jack of all trades. Like I just, that was just something I always wanted to be like, oh, yeah, I can do that. I know that.
So you're a jack of all trades, but what are you a master at?
None. None. Maybe multitasking.
Yeah, you got that down pat.
Yeah.
Because most of her football career, like, she was a single mom and doing school and, like, and could it be her title pretty much because there was a lot.
Yeah.
So how's being a spouse?
Yeah. Oh, it's so nice. Oh my God. I really like hit the jackpot. my first marriage, you know, a little bit, James. I mean, it was bad. It ended very badly. It was very borderline abusive, definitely toxic. And I stayed single for a really long time. I got divorced back in 2013 and then just got married January 1st, 2021. And so I had, you know, relationships along the way, but in the back of my mind, I just always thought like, all right, like, my spouse is going to cheat, you know, if I get married, my spouse is going to do this, do that. And then I met my current husband and I literally knew immediately. I was like, wow, this is a man that like is going to be my partner here. You know?
Yeah.
I really found my match. Like he's taken on the role of dad for my daughter. She's never been able to call anyone dad before because her dad has been out of the picture since before she was two. And mm-hmm. so now, you know, my husband Tyler is now her dad and she calls him dad. And it's just, it's so nice. And as far as all the hardships I've gone through in the last couple of years, it's like my one saving grace is my family. And I'm so blessed there.
That's awesome, man. Happy for you. Thank Congratulations you. Again on our marriage.
Thank you.
Is he military as well?
He is. Yep.
Okay. What does he do?
He's an 18 Bravo. So a special forces weapons sergeant.
Oh, okay. That's not bad. Not bad. Not bad.
Yep. Damn. So we might actually have our first move coming up to Fort Bragg.
Possibly. You're going to move?
Finally, I'm going to move.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Almost 9 years on JBLM, and I'm about to go to Fort Bragg.
That's wow. Crazy. That's crazy, man.
Yeah. It's been great here, and I've gotten to do all this football stuff here. But, mm-hmm. You know, when I have all my friends, I've got all my teammates here, but I'm kind of ready for just a little change. Ready yeah. to see the other side of the country.
You're back to the good side.
I guess that's what they say.
Yeah. So with that busy schedule, what are you doing to decompress, you know, like to keep yourself sane and level-headed?
Oh, God. I mean, now I'm taking a break from my science courses right now, which has made my life, like, way easier. My last tour I took was right before my husband's deployment, and so I took organic chem and ANP1 at the same time. Mm. And they were full-time. It made me a full-time student because they're condensed courses, and it almost broke me. And so now decompression time is just hanging out, you know, with the family, exercising, reading. Like, I feel like I have all this time now that I'm not studying all the time.
Yeah.
But recently, actually last week, I just found out I've been applying to PA school and nursing school for the last 2 years, or 4 years, actually. The first 3 years was PA school. This year was nursing. And the application process for these programs, they're so ridiculous and tedious that it's just a nightmare.
Yep.
Yeah. And so this last one, I literally just found out last week after hours and hours and probably thousands of dollars spent preparing my nursing packet, the Army won't even board it.
Wow.
Yeah, so that I found that out when I was on vacation last week, and I was super bummed out about it because, you know, part of me is like, what have I been doing the last 5 years? You know, I've been busting my ass, doing all these things, playing football, going to school, you know, having a lot of family trouble, but still like persevering, all for them to say, no, we're not going to board your packet. So it was really like really tough. But at the same time, I'm like, you know, this is obviously not meant to be. So I need you to stop forcing it. And kind of chalk it up as a loss in a way. Like, yeah, I took all these classes and I learned some things, but it kind of broke me. So,
yeah. Hey, like my therapist told me on Friday at my appointment, just because the Army denies you something doesn't mean life denies you.
Yeah, that's, yeah, I feel that.
Oh, that's so good.
That's really good. Yeah, a lot of times we think that the military is our life.
Our life. Sucks
because,
yeah.
That's kind of how we're conditioned. We're taught to bind to the system. We're taught that, you know, we got to play the game in order to progress. And our triumphs and our struggles within our career, it affects us. It affects us personally, man, because, you know, a lot of us take a lot of extreme pride and passion in what we do. And so just still keep your head up, Katie. I definitely empathize with what you're feeling. Keep your head up.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the military is more of a lifestyle than a job. So when, you know, you kind of weigh a lot of your successes and failures, you take it so personal. So yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to just at least knowing now, like, hey, I'm gonna do something else, you know, like I don't need to keep thinking like, am I gonna get in, you know. I can kind of just let it go and see where else life takes me. But yeah.
Hey, Marcellus, Katie sounds like a real life superhero, man.
Bro, I'm telling you.
Aww, thank
that's
you.
Why she's here, so people can talk to her, reach out. She's a has so much information, and I feel like she can inspire tons of people. That yeah. she already has, but there's more she can reach out to. So
thank you. Yeah, man, I know how much I struggled as like a young girl, as a young woman, the things I've gone through, and I do enjoy like talking to soldiers for sure, and just like people in general, because like I just want to tell people like, hey, like you got this, you know, like it seems like a lot, but you got this.
Yeah, I feel inspired already just hearing her schedule.
Let you know,
I gotta stop making excuses and tackle some of my dreams and my endeavors.
Well, I will say though, like what I have realized is that, yeah, I was kind of obsessed with like the grind for a while. And in hindsight now, I realize I think it was because I was actually kind of depressed. And so what I did was instead of sitting around and like thinking about it, I would just find things to do. And basically, like, create these scapegoats. And I have, like, a theory on this. Like, in order for me to avoid, like, being depressed, I had to have scapegoats. So a reason to be upset or stressed out. And so my scapegoats were football, were the Army, were I would overload my schedule so much that I couldn't just sit with my thoughts, if that makes sense.
No, it's called functional depression.
Yeah, okay, there we go.
Yeah.
It has a name. All right. Yeah, so I guess that's what I was going through. And I also just, I would get so addicted to the feeling of, like, winning, right? Like, I'd go to, like, ALC and SLC and WLC and just have to win, have to get all the honors, have to get... And it would be, like, a high for me.
What you did.
I did.
Let's not take that part out.
I did. But it, sometimes I'm, like, at what cost? Because I did sacrifice a lot of time with Isla, you know, with my family. And so people see the successes and they don't realize how much time I actually sacrificed and how little, even when I was living in the same, you know, house as my husband this last semester, I would see him 30 minutes a day by the time I was done with my studying. So just all these sacrifices, like, yes, it creates such a good story of, like, wow, she can do it all. But I've learned, like, you really have to just balance life out because life goes by so quick that in the end, those awards, let's be honest, they don't matter. Like, they don't matter. And, like, the experiences I've had created my relationship. So I am thankful for that. But you really have to just be like, hey, yeah, I have these dreams, but I also have to enjoy, like, my life along the way.
Yep. Well, I understand that.
Yep.
See, I'm a Libra, so I'm always trying to balance.
I don't do the horoscope thing, but I'll take your word on it.
I'm always like, I'm going to put work to the side for now.
That's good. You can do that. I'm learning.
Yeah. But yeah, it's called functional depression. And now that I sit back and think, I can relate because I think in Arizona, I was functionally depressed because I really didn't want to be there at all.
Yeah.
My son was in Texas, so that didn't help. And then, it wasn't the best situation for me personally.
But you got through it. You know,
I did.
You got through it.
But now I'm sitting back. I'm like, yeah, I think I kind of was.
Yeah. But it was better that you did find things to do. You know, I saw you doing the horse.
Yeah, horseback riding and stuff like that. I did pretty much the same thing you did. I just kept myself busy to the point that, like, I didn't have time to be as sad as I was there.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm still in Arizona. Damn.
Yeah.
That's my first decision. Like, I didn't get to choose. So I feel like that part was taken away from me.
Right. Yep.
You live and learn, I guess.
Yeah.
So I know you read a lot. What is something you read recently that has resonated with you as far as, like, a quote?
So one of the best books I've read in a while, it was called Gates of Fire. And it was about the Battle of Thermopylae. Like, you know the movie 300?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's based off that movie. It's more of, like, a closer to, like, historic retelling of it. And if you're, like, in the military, it's so good. Because you learn about, like, the Spartan warriors and how they trained. And just, like, the honor and bravery and stuff that these guys had. I think I did actually highlight one of my quotes from that book. I don't know if I can find it real quick. But there were so many. I have, like, the Kindle, so I'll just, like, highlight all these quotes. And that book was just filled with so many things.
What's the name one more time?
It's called Gates of Fire.
Gate. Okay.
Gotta download that today.
Yeah, I think that's pretty ironic.
I'll warn you, though, it's not the easiest read in the world because the language that was spoken, you know, at the time, there's a lot of words that you're like, oh, I don't know what that is. Or just the way that they speak is almost backwards. So it took me a while to, like, get my flow down to read through it, but in the end, yeah, it was really, really good.
So I'm a nerd, so I, like, watch, like, old English films and you know, the Romans and all those all those time periods way back when. So yeah. I'm kind of used to that, but I think I'm gonna just do the audiobook because
there you go.
Yeah, I'll fall asleep reading books now.
Yeah, I mean, when you drive too, it's so easy to, like.
Yes.
To listen and gain a little bit of perspective, man. And
Eric, you said that's ironic.
I was gonna say ironic that she read a book about the Spartans and here she is the next day on the Positively Spartans podcast.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, I'm reading another book that's similar called the Song of Achilles right now. I'm into, like, the Greek history, as you can tell right now.
Mythology.
I actually thought that this morning. I was like, oh, Spartans. Positivity Spartans. All right. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man.
Oh, one of the quotes I do remember. God, now I can't remember his name. One of the main characters. He's the king. Oh, King Leonidas. So basically, did you guys watch the movie 300?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so you know that they were like severely outnumbered.
Extremely.
Yeah, so they were warning basically King Leonidas. Well, you probably saw this in the movie. They were warning King Leonidas about how they were so well equipped, all their arrows, blah, 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 talking about how they're going to rain down arrows on them that you won't see the sun. And he basically was like, well, then we will fight in the shade.
So does it actually say the accurate number? Or
yeah, it does. It's more than 300 because you had like the 300 Spartans, but you had their allies with them as well. So I want to say total, it was actually closer to like 6,000 or more. But the Persians had like a lot, like over 100,000, I believe.
Okay. Because in a movie, they portray it as 300 versus a million or something like that.
Yeah, no, that's a little off. I was actually, after reading the book and then rewatching the movie, I was like, this movie kind of doesn't even do it half of justice, you know?
Yeah, that's what happens to a lot of people that read.
Yeah, the downfall.
All the Harry Potter books and what was the one with that? Katniss?
Oh, Hunger Games.
Yeah, people were pissed.
Yeah. So I mean, it's hard. It's hard to beat the book, so.
Yeah. And people's imaginations, too.
Yeah, exactly.
What about you, Marcel? What are you currently reading, brother?
What am I reading right now? I started, what is it called? The Miseducation of the Negro?
Carter G. Woodson?
I started that. And it's interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, especially, I read that one about it.
Especially because the time frame it was written, and some of that stuff still applies to normal day.
Is it nonfiction?
Yeah, okay. Pretty much. It's just talking about how like there's a difference, like a drastic difference in between the two, and how we're taught. How they were taught back then and how they like translates into the society you're living in.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a good one, man. It's been a few years since I read that one, but it from my recollection, it was pretty good.
But yeah, I'm trying to get into those books that someone took a picture and it's like Black education books. So I've been trying to get through those.
Nice. So, Do you guys have like a reading list, like a Positively Spartans like reading list?
We are going to start one now.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea.
We'll start a book club. We have a Facebook group, so we could probably start it in there.
Yeah, it's a super good idea. You should, because I mean, that's a good way for like people to come together, you know? That's one of the things, like if I find a person that I like idolize, I'll like Google, like, hey, what's their reading list? Like, how did they get to... How did their brain develop into what they are now? Because I want to be like them.
Agreed.
That's a great idea.
Gonna chalk that up onto the list. What else? So is school starting up for you guys for Isla again, right?
It starts in like 2 weeks.
What are they doing?
To be honest, I have no idea. They have not put out any information about it as far as if they're going to be in school full time, if they have to wear masks, like all that stuff. I'm assuming they will have to wear masks, and I'm assuming they're going to do part time again because of the Delta variant. But I don't know. They put it out like at the end of last school year that they were going to go back full time this year. But who knows at this point? We're just playing it by ear every day.
It's a little optimistic, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you guys? I guess your kids are all too little. Is your 2-year-old in preschool or anything?
He goes to daycare. Okay. I don't even think they wear masks as their kids. So
yeah. I think especially under 2, that would be kind of hard.
Yeah, all the adults do, but yeah, he's just in daycare and he gets a nanny comes to the house too, so
okay.
But yeah, it's weird that we're still doing this.
Yeah, it is.
Like, and it's the strangest thing to me is we kind of had the summer start, and they were like, all right, for I don't know how Lewis was treating it. I think most posted, but we like if you were vaccinated, you didn't have to wear a mask. And then that went on for like 75 days ish.
Yeah.
Maybe. And now they're like, all right, we're wearing masks again. And it's like, what's happening?
Yeah.
Can we stay on one note, please?
Yeah, that's how it was for us too. Like my unit honestly has never worn masks really. Like, yeah, like when it was really bad, we'd wear them in the hallway and stuff. But otherwise it was just optional. And we're still optional at work, but as far as like going to the PX, going to the commissary, stuff like that, we're back to masks there.
Mm-hmm. It's just,
that's that group life. Yeah, you guys, nice. You guys do your own thing.
Yep.
They sure do.
The best life.
They sure do. And they're like, this is, I've seen so many crazy things with like someone trying to correct someone from group.
Oh yeah, we're the most fucked up ones out there. Sorry, messed up ones.
And they'd be like, hey, this is my commander's name, and curse somebody out, and be like, all right, you can just talk to him if you want to.
Yeah, and like our commanders don't really care. I mean, to a certain extent, like we can't have someone go out and like disrespect someone. Like that's gonna be a no. But yeah, it was really funny because my last battalion surgeon that we had, he called me randomly and he goes, Katie, he goes, can you not put your hands in your pockets in uniform? And I'll go, no, you're not supposed to. And he was like, really? This dude's a major. He got yelled at from across the parking lot because he had his hands in his pockets. Some dude yelled at him like, hands out of your pockets. And he was like so mad. He was like, why? He was so confused. I was like, you can't do that technically.
Because they're like, you guys are a different community. Like you have, you have the Special Forces community. You have Combat Arms. You have Support Services. Support. And then you have the medical field. Yeah. And I feel like each of those boxes are all different.
So different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All different cultures. It's very, very unique.
Yes, very much so. Like my unit has a legitimate bar inside of it. Like this beautiful wooden bar with kegs hooked up, you know, here in the fridge. You know, people say inappropriate things. They swear, they cuss, they whatever. But it's like, know your environment. If we were to go somewhere else as a group, we know that we can't do that there. It's like, unit is a safe space.
But they're also a lot more close-knit too.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't leave. You know, like, of the five companies in my battalion, the three line companies, like, those guys don't really PCS. If they do, it's to brag for like 3 years and they come back. So, like, we all know each other so well. We've worked together for years, you know. I work with the same people for 6 years now.
Oh yeah.
So definitely tight knit.
That's a long time, man.
Yeah.
Bonkers. Oh my gosh. I just broke the fucking closet.
We'll edit that out too.
Oh no, you can keep it. It's okay.
That's so funny.
Like literally, bro, I went in there to get a cup and the door just came off the hinges.
You can't scroll.
Oh, no.
Pick things up and put them down. So, is there anything you want to close out with for, you know, women in general that you want to say?
Women in general. I mean, just to, like, re-harp on kind of what I said before about the differences between men and women. Like, I feel like a lot of people try and take away or almost try and be literally every single thing in the world as like a woman, and then when we can't do all those things, it like looks down, like people look down upon you, like, right? You've probably seen on social media the whole like girl boss, or like she can do both, like it's like this obsession with just like doing all the things, you know, being pretty, being fit, being successful.
Mm-hmm.
And like I agree to a certain extent that like women should try and like push themselves and be all that they like possibly can be, but at mm-hmm. the same time there's like an innate like womanly natural thing about being a mom, you know, being nurturing, being, you know, like not just a boss babe career person, but also like realizing like, hey, if you also want to have kids, if you want to stay home with your kids, if you want to, you know what I mean, raise tiny little good humans, we need that, you know. Just because like you see someone like me that's like, yeah, I've done all these things and accomplished all this stuff, like that I know that it inspires people, but we also need women that want to be great moms, that, you know, can volunteer in the community, can just like help nurture and mold this next generation, because with like the lack of married families now, and a lot of the brunt of it being on like single moms, like it's a really hard job, and raising kids is so important. Like if you think about it, like when we're old, who's going to lead the country? You know, we need people that we need to like raise our kids to be empathetic and smart and caring, you know, not living in like a social media bubble. So I just think that like women should just recognize the fact that they can do what they want to do, and they don't have, there's no societal responsibility to be a CEO. Like you may think that there is, but there isn't. Like be a great mom, you know, be a great aunt, be just like a good person. Like, I mean, that's all it is really.
I think that's dope. Yep.
I think women are amazing. And I think men are amazing too. Like, I don't want to like the whole, I feel like to a certain extent, like men are almost like semi-diminished sometimes. And I'm like, there's such like a need for both strong men and strong women. You know, yeah. It's like we're separate, but different. Like we're equal, but different. We're not going to be the same. We're biologically different, but yeah. We need each other. Right. We need to be comfortable with leaning on one another and not being like, I'm strong, independent woman that don't need a man, or a dude that's like, I don't need a woman, you know, like we need each other. And people are just afraid of getting hurt, and they're afraid of being too reliant on someone, I think. So mm-hmm. I think we need to have the confidence to trust one another, to make things happen together. Cause that's when you see like great things happening, is it's a collective action. You can't do anything by yourself. I'm a testament to that, because I would have not made it if I didn't have people like you, James. Like you got me into football. You babysat my child for me. You know, I wouldn't make it if it wasn't for a lot of commanders I had, a lot of first sergeants I've had, like men and women around. Like it takes a tribe. So I'm so like grateful for everyone in my life, and I'm happy. I don't know. That's what I got.
That's good stuff. All right. So until next time, positivity, prosperity, peace.
Peace.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.